Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, a weekly program exploring Hawaii Island's issues, problems, and solutions. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Good morning. Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. You may also hear this and other past Island Issues interviews online at BigIslandNewsCenter.com. They're down on the right for online listening or downloading. Today is going to be the first of more than one segment about brain trauma. Dr. Teresa Wang was driving south on Queen Ka'aomano Highway on November 19, 2010, when her car was slammed into, according to the police report, by a 27-year-old Kona woman driving north in a 1997 Toyota SUV when that person crossed the center line and collided head-on with Dr. Wang's 1996 Saab sedan. That accident got quite a bit of publicity, initially because the driver of the SUV, Shakti Stream, had as her passenger, Colt Brennan, the former UH quarterback. Our discussion about brain trauma starts today with Dr. Teresa Wang, who was the victim of that crash. Next Sunday morning, we're going to resume our discussion, this time with Dr. Mark Ashley, who runs the Brain Trauma Rehab Centers in California, where Dr. Wang went to begin her long journey back towards sort of normalcy, I'll call it. So Dr. Teresa Wang joined us in our Kona studio, and we actually recorded this interview last March before I went to California to meet with Dr. Ashley. Welcome to Island Issues, Dr. Teresa Wang. Aloha.
Aloha, thank you.
Dr. Wang, tell us what happened on November 19th, 2010.
Well, I really don't have good, clear memories. I only have cobbled memories from what my husband told me. And on that day, I was scheduled to go see my doctor in Kona, and that I was driving south. And then I was following the traffic. And there was a minivan in front of me with a woman with a child, and she's managed to swerve to the right and get out of the way, and I didn't have time to get out of the way because suddenly there's an SUV coming at me. So I was in a sedan, and I think sedans against SUVs are not very good.
To what degree do you actually remember the accident or even waking up afterwards?
Oh, I don't remember any of it. My memory only, in fact, I've lost a lot of memory because I don't even remember 2 months of memory before the accident.
Which brings me to before the accident. What was your job before the accident? What was your life like before November 19th, 2010?
Well, I was working at West Hawaii Community Health Clinic as a physician there, but I had to stop because I had an aneurysm, a stroke, which is another form of brain injury. And at that time, I think I was really down because the specialists all said that you can't work as a doctor. And I had gone for another second opinion. And she said, you know, you could probably return to working if you sort of do a mini residency where the other doctors would cover me, or I would job shadow with them for a little while until they feel confident that I'm making the right decisions and listening, and also just remembering memory-wise, visual memory, I mean, seeing things that accurately and remembering them. My biggest difficulty is visual memory.
Meaning today?
Yeah, today. That was actually due to the stroke. And then it just got worse with the car accident.
Tell me about your educational background and that part of your life when you were younger.
Well, I was trained in Canada. I have a bachelor's in microbiology, microbial and cell biology. And then I went on into medical school. My backup plan at that time, if I didn't get into medical school, was to get my graduate degree in research. So I did a lot of research when I was doing my undergraduate degree. I've always wanted to be a doctor since I was 15. So I was a very, very driven person. And then I got into University of Alberta, and I say it by the skin of my teeth because there were so many good people, and I managed to get in. And then went through medical school, and that was tough. It was really hard. But I think rehab is harder. And then I graduated, and I didn't meet my husband after I graduated because my girlfriend was phoning me and congratulating me, and I said, oh, I don't know, Connie, if this is really worthwhile, because I gave up so much. I stopped dating. I just didn't get involved with anybody simply because it would affect my studies. And so she introduced me to my husband, who was working with her husband at the time, and that was how we got together, and then I went on to Montreal to do my residency in family practice. And I had the toss-up to do family practice or go into pediatrics or go into even get this physical medicine rehabilitation. Although when I did my elective, I realized that the only two cases I really was interested in was the spinal cord injury and the brain injury cases. The other cases did not interest me at all. So I decided family practice would be better, and it kind of has the variety that I was looking for. And I'm really glad I made that choice because I really, really had a good time. And especially when I came down to the States to work, they were recruiting heavily in Canada because they needed family doctors in the States. So I went down and I ended up in Wisconsin in a small town in Reedsburg. And I did exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be a country doctor, looking after babies and also the grandmothers. I call it cradle to grave work. And to me, that is what family medicine is all about.
Well, then, and recently you were with West Hawaii Community Health Center. I know Richard Taft said you were a valued member of their staff. So what were you doing at West Hawaii Community Health Center?
Oh, I returned back to basically doing more outpatient work. I didn't do deliveries. I looked into it when I got here. I looked into maybe setting up my own practice and all that. But gosh, the cost of insurance, liability insurance for delivering babies was over the roof. Over $40,000 a year, and I thought you'd have to deliver a lot of babies in order to just break even on that. I tried out a lot of other doctors' places and filling in for them as locums, and then I ended up doing a locum for this West Hawaii Community Health Clinic, and I really enjoyed it. And then they liked me because they were used to getting all these fill-in locums who were just fresh out of schools, and I had a lot of experience, so I could handle the volume and I could handle the difficulties. And I think I have great bedside manners. That's my personal opinion. I'm not. People said they, even my past patients that I'm in contact with, they really do miss having me as a doctor.
Dr. Wang, I understand that you were actually pretty close to going back to your job at West Hawaii Community Health Center when this accident occurred. Tell me about that.
Oh, I was scheduled to start back at West Hawaii Community Health Clinic on a supervised basis since I had been reassessed by another neuropsychologist saying that it would be okay for me to go back. And it was going to start 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after the actual time of the accident. So we were really excited, and so were my patients, very excited. They had heard that I was going to come back, so they were all gearing up to see me, but not meant to be. They have been so supportive, and I thank you.
What brought you from Wisconsin to Hawaii?
My husband's job. He got a job in Mauna Loani. We've been dreaming of moving to Hawaii since we visited Hawaii way back many years in the 90s. I never thought much about Hawaii at the time. I was just thinking of maybe the Honolulu lifestyle, and everybody went there for their honeymoons, and I'm like, oh, that seems not my thing. And yet when we ended up going to Hawaii just for a vacation, I was really surprised, especially on Big Island. We were really surprised how people assumed we were local people. We just blended in. And it's the first time in my life since immigrating to North America that I felt like I belong somewhere. It was just unbelievable because I kind of blend in with everyone, but they speak English and they know the American lifestyles. So it's great. And I was really so happy.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Canada. Okay. I was born in Taiwan. And at age 5, my parents immigrated to Canada. It was helpful. It allowed me the benefit of getting the higher education I did because I don't think I would have been able to get that in Taiwan. My parents would not have been able to afford it.
Can you tell me what your injuries were? I know you had brain trauma, but can you detail the other injuries you had as a result of being hit head-on by an SUV?
Oh, well, I have 2 femur fractures. That's in the thigh bones, both of them. My right heel got crushed, but just the same time, it really destroyed the alignment of all my bones in my right ankle. So if they hadn't fixed that, I basically would have ended with literally a club foot that I couldn't walk on. So they did, when I got sent to Craig's Hospital in Denver, and there was a fabulous orthopod doctor, he looked at that and he had to consult with his old teaching hospital, his old residency programs, to get ideas of how to rebuild basically my ankle. That was the big thing, to fix my ankle so that I could walk. I also had 4 neck bones break, and it caused bruising to my spinal cord, but luckily didn't sever any of the spinal cords, because I would have ended up with a complete spinal cord injury, which means I would have been either paraplegic or most likely quadriplegic. So that's very thankful. I had a few rib fractures, but rib fractures just heal themselves.
You say that so matter-of-factly. Yeah. I read in the newspaper at the time that you'd had like 28 broken bones, including all of your limbs, both arms, both legs. You had an injury to a blood vessel in your brain that caused paralysis and swelling of the brain and a coma.
Yeah.
I mean, you were pretty severely injured. And I know that brain trauma may have the most lasting impact, but how long did it take you to recover from the broken bone portion of your injuries?
A couple of years.
Okay.
Oh, because then it's a couple of years, then I started finally walking, standing. That was the real thing. And
how did the trauma to your brain affect you at the very beginning, at your first consciousness after the accident?
Well, I had amnesia, traumatic brain amnesia. I woke up. And I don't know why it didn't clue in at the time that because I was in a wheelchair, that something bad had happened. I would deny that anything bad had happened. I was like, oh, and I saw snow. So I thought my husband had brought me back to Wisconsin.
So you didn't even have any consciousness. You were in Queens Medical Center for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
You don't remember any of that?
No.
Wow. So your first memory really is when you went to Denver to a rehab facility.
Yes.
So that's so interesting that you would wake up sitting in a wheelchair. I'm curious about that experience. What happened? Was there a nurse there to talk to and explain?
Well, I was already doing, it's not like I think I was awake already, but my memory just started where we were sitting waiting for me for my session with the speech therapist or the cognitive therapist. And she was asking me, where are you? And she happened to have a window in her office, so there was snow. So I said, oh, Wisconsin.
It was the first thing that came to your mind.
So I had to be educated over time, repeated, you are in Denver. And so they made a book for me where I would have to open up, and it said on the book, you had a brain injury, you were in the car accident. And I had to read that every day until it sunk in, until I hold. And every day I had to try to remember what's today, and you know, and then I had to try to recall what I did the day before or over the weekend if it was Monday. And of course, I mess up a lot of them.
Did you remember your husband?
Yes, I remember my husband. Oh, I can't forget him. I love him too much.
Well, he obviously loves you too. I'm going to interrupt and remind you that this is Island Issues. I'm your host, Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Today is the first of a multi-part interview. My guest today is Dr. Teresa Wang. In 2008, Dr. Wang had an aneurysm, a stroke, and that put her out of commission for a while. On November 19th, 2010, she was actually recovered enough from that stroke to be able to begin working again at her job at West Hawaii Community Health Center. But on that day, November 19, 2010, another driver slammed head-on into her vehicle. Dr. Wang was going south on Queen Ka'aomano Highway. The other driver was going north. The initial Hawaii County Police report said that the other vehicle crossed the center line before slamming head-on into Dr. Teresa Wang's car. And that left Dr. Wang with severe injuries, including brain trauma. We're talking with Dr. Wang about her injuries and about brain trauma and about insurance coverage. Next week, we'll start talking with Dr. Mark Ashley, who runs one of the rehab centers in California where Dr. Wang was a patient. Now, we'll get back to Dr. Teresa Wang. I understand that you spent 7 weeks at Queens Medical Center, and then you were in two different inpatient rehabilitation facilities on the mainland for about 7 months. And according to what I've read, then you've had more than a year of outpatient therapy here on Hawaii Island. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you've made what I would think is really a remarkable recovery. You have a sense of humor. You are charming and delightful. And so there are many aspects of your life where, in a way, things are good, but I know your life is not back to normal. So the first question I have is, what kind of rehab did you have to have, particularly relative to the brain trauma, to get you to the point where you are today, or we can sit here in this radio station and have this conversation?
Well, do you mean cognitively the way I am, or?
Yeah, partly. I mean, because you were in two different facilities that seemed to specialize in brain trauma rehab.
Yes. Well, I had to have what's called cognitive therapy, and it's actually conducted by speech therapists, which unfortunately one of our biggest insurers here in Hawaii does not recognize, and that's HMSA, does not recognize that. They say it's investigational or something, or it's, but they do recognize. I have UHA now, and they do recognize it. And on the mainland, the other insurers recognize it. But for some reason, HMSA does not.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Were you able to talk when you first recovered?
I was talking at the car accident because I went back to the firefighters who and the EMTs who saved me. And they were telling me that, oh, yeah, you were talking. And you gave me your husband's name and where he worked and how to contact him. So I was a little chatterbox. And then there was a lot of things that happened during the transfer to Oahu. So I ended up with a stroke.
Oh, you had a stroke after you had the car accident.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I've had two strokes. I had one before the car accident in 2008. I had my aneurysm. And the second one because of the car accident. And that's affected my balance center quite a bit. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't seem like I'm too safe for me to dance hula, and I'm recommended to walk with a cane. However, I'm working with a woman in Pilates, and she's determined to actually help me with getting me to dance hula.
That's good. Now, I want to go back to the rehab. What kind of things were you doing while you were in the rehab centers, both in Denver and in California? Because as you know, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Mark Ashley, who runs the rehab center that you were in California.
Yeah.
What kind of things did you do every day to get you back to where you're a functioning person?
Well, really, the rehab was not just these set classes. It was basically 24 hours. You're always doing rehab. And I love the situations they do. They put you in apartments, and there you have to, you get a schedule and routines so that you can remember, and you have to get up at a certain time, and you have to get your breakfast, and you have to pack a lunch, and there's a bus that takes all the patients over to their clinic to do their rehab sessions and all that. So riding on this bus to be at the bus on time and They have aids that help you to watch for your safety and all, to assist you. But you still have to do it yourself. You still have to think, oh, I got to have breakfast. Or, you know, what am I going to cook for breakfast? When I first came there, I was so used to the hospital setting that I thought I'd just order, oh, I would like 2 poached eggs, please. And then some of the aides going, why don't you make your own breakfast? Oh, okay.
You thought this was a vacation. It was not a vacation.
It was not.
How are you now? What is your status, as you would describe it, whether as a physician or as a person? What is different about your life today than before the accident? Give us sort of a rundown of what's different now.
Well, actually, you know, emotionally and relationship-wise with my husband, we're better than what we were before. 110 and 200% better. I'm more appreciative of what I've got and even more appreciative with my mom. And I think it's an eye-opener for my mom, too. And she's become more gentle herself. So in that way, it's been super. And spiritually, I'm even stronger in my belief in God. I believed in God when I was little, growing up, attending Catholic school. It's now there. No doubts about it.
Well, you don't ask the question of God, why did this happen to me?
Yeah, no, which is different. I work with a therapist, and she says usually most people hate God more. But I just thank God for what miracles he has brought for me.
What about other ways that life is different? You obviously have difficulty walking, and you explained about your foot. What else?
Well, short-term memory is still a bit of an issue sometimes, but it's getting better. I get a little bit irritated because when somebody says, no, it didn't happen that way, I get argumentative because I feel like I'm being challenged and I get defensive. And life actually has been quite fun. I think the media coverage and all that has made it a lot of fun for me. And
of course, you do have people who do things for you now that you were able to do for yourself before. For example, you did not drive yourself here today.
No, but I just recently got retested, and I've been cleared to drive.
Really?
And being recommended that I take a driving course, which I'm setting up. So it's not that I won't, I will. I've got little goals. I'm a goal-driven person. So for now, it's just the goal is to drive. And then afterwards, another goal. And another goal is to find myself a new occupation. And with all this media coverage and all that, I love to be motivational, inspirational for people.
I want to talk to you about that because it feels like that's what you're really focusing your life towards, is helping others with brain trauma. But first I want to ask you, could you have gotten the rehab here in the state that you received from Dr. Ashley's clinic in California and the clinic in Denver?
No.
Doesn't exist here.
Well, I mean, there's the rehab hospital Pacific, and I've been there. And at that time, our insurance was I would spend 2 weeks there. And if I didn't improve, I was going to go to a nursing home.
You mentioned insurance now, and you've mentioned it before. Clearly, what you have gone through has a huge financial impact, and you're a young woman. So how does one handle the huge financial impact of something like this? Because now you've lost your job, and you had all the expenses. And are you telling me that HMSA, your insurer, did not cover it?
Well, HMSA, they were our insurance in the beginning, and they did cover me going to Craig's Hospital because I had a spinal cord injury. And I think it really helped that my husband actually got connected with a lawyer. So they were more willing to go there. And then Dr. Weintraub at the Craig's Hospital, he's really good at dealing with the insurance companies. So when once we got, it was okay for me to go there for 2 weeks. They just every 2 weeks, he would argue with the insurance company and get an extension and an extension, extension. When we got to the California to Center for Neural Skills, and I overheard my husband talking to a recruiter for another job with another company there on HMSA, and he was going to switch. And I said, no, don't do that. Let's just set the conditions that they have to okay. All the therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and any drugs that are being used off-label.
And off-label means it's not for the actual prescribed normal use,
yeah.
But it's a drug that has been proven effective for another use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for example, they tried me on a drug that we use for dementia people to help my memory. And another thing was focus, my attention is not quite there, and still not quite there. They tried me on the attention deficit drug, but the side effect of raising my blood pressure was not worth it, so they stopped that.
You mentioned that HMSA didn't recognize speech therapy as the technique for recovering from brain trauma, whereas that is the technique in many cases for recovering from brain trauma. As a doctor, how can the insurance company not recognize something that is proven to be the answer to something as horrible as brain trauma?
I think maybe you should interview the medical director of HMSA and ask him that, because for me, that's one of my passions, is to advocate that there should be some policy changes, especially in Hawaii with HMSA.
I haven't confirmed the statistics yet, but I have read that somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000 people in Hawaii end up every year with brain trauma. Mm-hmm. And since there is one insurer that is the primary insurer, now I'm really wondering how those people are managing to get along and to function. Now, one of the things I know you did was file a civil suit against the driver of the other car. Mm-hmm. Was that for the purpose of being able to cover the medical bills, or what was the purpose of the lawsuit?
Part of it was the medical bills and to make a claim on them. We did end up settling out of court because we could go after her future earnings, but it's really not that for us. It's just that we just go on and work it out. And so we're just slowly working our way through. And my husband's got a fairly good job. And fortunately, I qualified for a Medicare disability. So all that money I paid in when I was working, I'm recouping. So it's enough money. Combined, it's enough money for us. We don't have children.
How do you feel about the driver of the other car?
I don't hate her. I think she's probably really messed up. And I just have hope that the other driver will straighten out and accept responsibility. She's been gifted with good parents or gentle parents. So maybe she'll be able to make a life for herself.
Did she not accept responsibility for this crash? Which, by the way, I'd like to mention that as of this interview, the county prosecutor is still 2.5 years after the accident, quote, investigating, unquote, this situation. They've not filed any charges. But there also really weren't allegations of drugs nor alcohol in any of the police reports I have seen up to date, although it is believed that there is distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So has the driver not accepted responsibility?
I have not heard anything.
And I just want to interject something. I asked Police Chief Harry Kubujiri last February if the police had in fact turned over all the materials on this crash to the Hawaii County prosecutor. He personally went to the records room and checked and said the records had been turned over no later than last July 2012. I spoke with Mitch Roth, county prosecutor, in February, said I would be doing this interview, and I wanted to get an update on whether they were going to charge Shakti Stream with anything. On June 25th, I sent an email to Prosecutor Roth and to Deputy Prosecutor Dale Ross and told them I was going to finally be airing this interview, and I really would like to know what the intent of the prosecutor's office is. The statute of limitations expires in November after 3 years. At this point, as of yesterday, July 13th, Deputy County Prosecutor Dale Ross wrote back to me and said, "Sorry for being late. We have a statement ready, but one of my deputies wants to talk to the victims again before releasing it." So Dale Ross, Deputy Prosecutor, promised me that by Monday, tomorrow as you hear this, there will be a statement, and I'll have it for you next week when we air part two of this interview. And now back to Dr. Teresa Wang. Dr. Teresa Wang, I understand that part of your mission in life now is to help other brain trauma victims. How do you plan to do that?
Well, little things, like there's a brain injury support group, and I attend that. And I'm going to give a little talk on the rehab's done. What do I do? How do I heal myself further? Because you know you're not exactly the way, and whatever rehab you have, physical rehab or occupational rehab or speech therapy, it's not quite the same. So what can you do to try to improve? And also encouragement that the brain will continue to remodel itself and rewire itself. So there's lots of things you can do to improve that.
You seem to be an amazingly positive person, despite what is a horrible situation that happened to you. You seem to have a really great attitude. How do you do that?
I was really down for a while, so they had to put me on antidepressants, which helps and smooths out the fluctuations. But I think I've always been kind of like that. That's really positive. I was really determined even when I was younger.
Do you think you'll ever be able to go back and be a physician?
I could probably, but I don't really want to. Patient safety was so up there. So if something happened to the patient and I made a mistake now with this brain injury and all this, I would be second-guessing myself all the time. So no, and the other thing is the politics of it, the insurance issues and stuff like that. But I am looking forward to maybe also getting into research in traumatic brain injury.
You said that when you were early on looking for your residency, you really liked the things about spinal cord injuries and brain injuries. Uh-huh. So maybe that was really what you're supposed to do all along.
Yeah, who knows? It's so strange. It really is. I thought, geez, I like the spinal cord injury and the traumatic brain injury. And guess what? I got both. Luckily, my spinal cord injury was incomplete, so I'm not paralyzed. I have the traumatic brain injury, but the brain is neuroplastic, so there's new hope.
So do you feel like you're getting better all the time? Do you remember better? Are things feeling better in your head?
Yes. Yeah, lately I'm sleeping so much better. I have better energy throughout the day. I think right now it's probably because I started Pilates and starting exercising.
Are you still getting other physical therapy?
No. No, they said that I've had too much therapies. So,
meaning the insurance company said that?
Yes, basically. They quoted this. And also they didn't see much progress from what I call it, the regular therapies, the physical therapists and all that. Insurance company said that's good enough.
Anything else you'd like to add before we say aloha?
Oh, be very careful the way you drive. We're distracted with our telephone, talking on the telephone. Even listening to the radio will distract you. So be sure to really think twice when you're driving. Be alert.
Thank you so much, Dr. Teresa Wang, for talking with us today. Aloha.
Aloha.
And to our audience, thank you so much for being with us. This was really a moving interview, and as you probably know, I edit interviews, so I did take out some pauses and some ums and things, but Dr. Teresa Wang is remarkably recovered from her brain trauma injury to the layperson's view, and that's me. But next week, we're going to talk to Dr. Mark Ashley. He runs the Center for Neuroskills in California, where Dr. Wang had some of her rehab. So join us for that. Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM, and online, BigIslandNewsCenter.com. Till then, let's all drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for joining us for Island Issues. We welcome your suggestions and input. Email us at info@islandissues.com. Join us next week at the same time for another edition of Island Issues. Island Issues is a public affairs presentation of Mahalo Broadcasting.